Fourth and final hour of 3D on this Wednesday afternoon. Gang is all here. Darren, Derek, and Donick with you. We've had a fun show. We're going to keep this thing rolling right along. Our buddy Lee Jenkins on the line with us from Sports Illustrated. Covers all sports, but he is definitely engulfed in the NBA, and we brought him on to discuss a lot of that. Lee, how you doing?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
Doing wonderful. You know, we were discussing the Predators. Of course, the NHL has switched over to Adidas, and so the new jerseys came out, and so it seems to be a lot more wide-open canvas, so to speak.
Yeah, that's the Adidas rep, huh?
Yeah, and so we were wondering, you know, and Derek brought this up, is this opening up the door for NHL teams to start putting advertisements on their sweaters? And so it was brought up that the Cavs are going to indeed do that. I mean, is that where the NBA is going?
Yeah.
Are they going to – that's where it's headed next year?
Yeah, you'll see. I mean, a few teams are doing it next year. You'll see more and more as this goes on. You know, I'm hoping it never goes like full-fledged soccer style. But, yeah, this is definitely going to be the way of the future.
Hold on 1 second. I'll tell you what we're going to do. Chase, I'm going to put Lee on hold. Can we call him back? I think – it's cutting in and out. Let's maybe try to call him back on a different line.
Along to his conversation, it's his answer. I just think you don't want it to go full-fledged soccer style, yes, but these owners are going to look and say, okay, we've used just about every square inch, if not every square inch, of our arena or our stadium. Now we're left with what? The jerseys. So let's just, you know, make it maximum three.
Yeah, you've got to, I think you've got to control what it looks like, or else it will become like the soccer jerseys,
yeah,
of the NASCAR. By the way, Max Scherzer now through the seventh inning with the no-hitter down in Miami, and he's got his sixth consecutive double-digit strikeout game. First guy in 20 years since Pedro Martinez in 97 to have six straight 10 or more strikeouts in starts.
Let's go back to Lee. Lee, are you there?
Yeah. How you
okay, doing? Sorry about that. It was cutting in and out, so I wanted to hear your answer. So you were saying that's the direction.
Yeah, I mean,
NBA's
it'll be the way of the future. And, you know, Adidas is definitely, they're always going to be more open. The NBA is actually going to Nike next year. But they're going to, you know, they always take some more risks, you know, some more chances on some of their stuff. But I just think regardless of what sponsorship company it is, that you're going to see more of that, you know, moving forward as owners look for kind of any different revenue stream they can find. And, you know, especially with the NHL, given some of the limitations on the TV money. But in the NBA as well, I think it's just going to be something where you'll see a patch on pretty much every team going forward.
Wonder Twin Powers activate. You know how this is. It's a superhero league now in the NBA. Everybody's joining forces and got to get these big power teams together, even though LeBron said that they're not a power team. But interesting enough, and Golden State took their shot. So what is the play for Cleveland? Because right now it's Golden State and everybody else. Cleveland is next in line, but then after that there's even another gap. So what is going to happen for some more teams to get competitive in this race in the NBA, if Golden State, if this is the team they're going to keep intact?
Yeah, I mean, it's a messed up league right now. And, you know, the NBA and the union, you know, they're at fault. I mean, they approved this salary cap spike a couple years ago, and nobody really thought it was – what happened, you guys, I don't know how familiar you are with it, but they signed this $24 billion TV deal. And it was a great thing. You know, it was a great moment. ESPN gave them all this money. This was back in 2014. They didn't really know – how to put the money in the system accurately. They got to split it, the owners and the players. So what the NBA wanted to do is they wanted to give, you know, give the players half the money, but not raise the salary cap all at once, okay? So, but the union didn't want to do that. So what happened was is they jacked up the salary cap in 1 year, and it was last year. It was the year Kevin Durant was a free agent. And none of it really would have mattered if Durant had stayed in Oklahoma City. But, you know, there's pressure, serious pressure on those top guys, LeBron, Durant, you know, corporate pressure from a lot of different places to deliver a title. So he goes to Golden State, and because of this unusual situation with this cap spike and other contracts that Golden State had that were suppressed for unusual reasons, Steph Curry's ankles, Draymond Green being drafted where he was, some other stuff, they were able to put this team together. No fault, you know, all the credit to them. Whatever, Durant made the choice he made. So it's created this insanity around the NBA where now it's gone from like, well, two players, you want two stars together, to no, you want three stars together, to now you need like four. And that's going to be impossible for any team really probably to put together ever again. But these teams are going to do whatever they can to get as close as they can. And, yeah, LeBron is clearly, because he's almost like two stars in and of himself, he's always going to probably be the closest to do it.
You see that the Lakers, now with Magic running everything, the Lakers are trying to clear some space. Mozgov, they got rid of him. Obviously, he got the big contract 2 years ago because of what he did in Cleveland, so they cleared cap space with that. They trade off D'Angelo Russell. Even do you think they're in a position, even with all of that, because Paul George either wants to get traded or he's leaving. So then you have possibly LeBron James. What is the likelihood that one of those guys ends up in L.A. either this year, and I know this year would be Paul George, or next year?
Yeah, if Paul ends up there, they become very attractive to a bunch of other free agents. I mean, Lonzo Ball's going to have to pan out, too. You know, they're going to pick Lonzo Ball tomorrow night. He's going to have to play well. You know, this giving up Russell was kind of a risk. I mean, that deal with Mozgov was so bad. And that's the other thing that happened with this cap spike, you guys, is it allowed these teams to just do the stupidest stuff ever. So because they had all this money. So the Lakers give $80 million to Luol Deng and $68 million to Mozgov, and now they're having to dig out of that, and they're having to give up a guy they just traded. They just picked number two overall 2 years ago. 2 years ago tomorrow, they're already giving him up. You know, and he wasn't some kind of big bust. I mean, he's an immature guy. But this is another problem with the NBA is all these – they're pinning their hopes to these 19-year-olds. The 19-year-olds, wow, surprise, surprise, they're immature. But he still put up numbers. The guy can shoot. He can pass. So they had to give him up just to get rid of that contract and do, Derek, what you're saying, which is they're trying to now go big game hunting again, which is kind of what the Lakers were trying to do. Then they sort of went away from it. We're like, hey, let's develop. Let's kind of do it the way all the teams do it. And now it's kind of like, well, forget that. We're going to go big game hunting again. And look, if you have Paul George, he makes that possible because you get that one in. LeBron's not going to be the first one in. He's not coming to just, I don't think, run around with Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram. But if you have George and you've got money available, you know, I suppose that's a swing they could take. The Clippers will take that swing also. But, you know, the Cavs still have – they still have Kyrie Irving. And I don't know – and they have Kevin Love, who's – you know, I know kind of people don't – you know, think of him maybe as a top guy anymore, but he's certainly in that second echelon.
Now, how do you, we had this discussion earlier today with Dwight Howard, a guy with his physical makeup, his ability, he's very fluent in his movement, can jump out the gym, exciting player. First 8 years with Orlando, we just thought he was on a rise to being possibly a Hall of Fame guy. But then after he left Orlando, it's just, I'm not going to say it fizzled out, but it just, he just kind of, he reached his peak and just kind of coast. How do you
no
see
doubt.
Or Dwight Howard?
His career.
Yeah, how do
no,
you see
it's
his
a really
career?
Fascinating career. I mean, you're right. It was such a promising start. I mean, it's hard to remember this, you guys, but he was like one of those faces of the NBA guys. I mean, he was a guy who, you know, big guys never seen as guys who can sell shoes. Dwight Howard was a guy, he was Adidas, that they felt like could sell shoes. He had that kind of reach. And you're right. I mean, it fizzled fast. I think part of it was the game changing, you know, wanting your big guys to be able to shoot. Obviously, Dwight Howard was a guy who he wanted to play back to the basket, post you up, dominate you. And they put like four shooters around him in Orlando. It was that four out, one in, Stan Van Gundy system. And it worked. But, you know, people didn't want to play post up anymore. And around like 2010, probably that kind of changed. And then it coincided with Dwight Howard injury. You need back problems. And I think his life off the floor became, you know, a little bit cumbersome, the way it sometimes does with some of these guys. There was a lot of money. There were a lot of distractions. He got himself with a couple other stars when he probably played his best basketball when he was the only star. He played with Kobe. He played with James Harden. Those guys wanted him to screen really hard, roll to the rim. He wanted the post-ups. So some interest kind of clashed there. And, you know, when you stand next to Dwight Howard, as big as he is and as striking as he is, he's not that tall. He's not a seven-footer. You know, he's 6'10", and he, you know, so he's not one of these guys who will, you know, I don't know if the jumping out of the gym was still going on post-injuries. I don't know that he had that ability to protect the rim quite as well. And you know what's weird about him is he's still putting up numbers. He's a double-double machine, but there is just, there's something about Dwight Howard where it hasn't worked. And I'm not really sure why that is, but these kind of, among the chemistry of NBA locker rooms, these last few stops for him have not gone well.
Lee Jenkins is with us from Sports Illustrated. Lee, there have been plenty of examples throughout sports recently where tanking can work if it's executed right, and maybe you're a little lucky to go with it. There's also some where it hadn't gone as smoothly as they hoped. The 76ers might be the poster child. They're still kind of waiting. They've tried to be bad for a while. They've accumulated high picks, but it hasn't come together, injuries and such. Are they now on the verge, if they can keep these guys healthy, that they actually could be pretty good next year?
Yeah, I don't know if they'll be good next year because they'll be so young, but it will work. It will work. It will be a decade of pain, probably. I mean, you have to
like
be
really bad
to
pain.
Absolutely take it down to the studs and be married to it and make so many moves with the intention of staying bad, which is really hard. I mean, it's hard, especially in a market like that. You know, you see baseball teams have done it effectively, the Astros, the Cubs. If you're really married to it for a long, long time, I mean, they made so many moves, and now they look like great moves. But in the moment, it was like, wow, they're giving up Michael Carter Williams. I think he might have been Rookie of the Year. I mean, he was a good player at one point. They would give him up just picks, more picks, more picks. It's like, you know, my favorite baseball team, the San Diego Padres. What they're doing right now is essentially every single move is for a prospect. You know, yeah, we'll take every Rule 5. You know, Rule 5, we'll carry three guys. We'll do all these this crazy stuff with the intent of just stockpiling assets, is the term everybody uses now. And if you do that for long enough and are hardcore enough about it, I think it'll work, and it will end up working for them because, you know, nobody can mess up a top three pick that many times. Like, eventually you are going to hit. Now, if you're like the Orlando Magic and you sort of get unlucky with the draft and you're picking sixth, you know, and you're not kind of all the way in, then it probably won't work, or it might not work. So you have to really be married to the tank for a long, long time. And, again, this is all troublesome for the NBA, okay? This idea that four stars are needed to win, that's troublesome. This idea that maybe the best story moving forward will be the team that basically forfeited a decade, that's troublesome because other teams may look to have to do the same thing. All these teams that are kind of in the middle right now, they will go to camp with no hope. I mean, it is a hopeless league outside of a couple cities.
Mm. Does Luke Kornet have a chance to get drafted tomorrow?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, this is what they want. They want three-point shooting bigs, you know, to space the floor so that a guy like, you know, so much of the league right now, I mean, it is so star-driven to such an incredible extent that it's a lot of it is just about spacing the floor so that those few stars, your Harden, your LeBron, you know, Kyrie, Curry, that they can get to the rim. So a guy like Kornet can bring a bigger defender out to the perimeter, and that will be, you know, the main skill set he has. Now, can he defend on the other end? That'll sort of be a question mark, but I would think a team would take a flyer at him in the second round. Yeah. You guys, what's Darius Garland going to do? What's going to happen with this?
Wait, explain, who's Darius Garland?
Is he going to go to Vanderbilt? It's the point guard.
Oh, I don't know.
You guys don't know? All right, that's the next. He's one of the top-rated point guards.
Yeah. We've been in hockey mode for two years.
Well, okay, this is the kid that goes – is he the local kid?
Yeah.
Yeah, Brentwood Academy. Yeah, I think they feel like they've got a shot. I think they feel like they've got a shot. That's all I hear. I don't know a lot of details there.
Yeah, I could tell that topic's really burning up.
it honestly is. In Vanderbilt circles, I know it is.
I'm the only person clearly is
in California
raptured with that. Yeah, I'll start calling in and asking every week.
Okay, remind us. We'll get some more info.
Well, he could possibly be a one and done.
You didn't expect to get crickets on that, did you?
You asked about Kornet. I thought we were going down that road. That's cool though.
Real quick, where do you think? What's your gut feeling? Where does Paul George end up?
You know, my gut feeling, I guess, is that he ends up in Boston because they have the most to give. I mean, they're the team that has the most, you know, they have the most to offer. The Lakers aren't going to give up that number 2 pick for him. And even though he wants to be in L.A., what do the Pacers care? And I think that what some of these teams believe with some of the, when some of these players say, well, this is what I want to do, or you know, even with LeBron right now, we're saying, oh, he wants to play in L.A., things change a lot in the NBA. They change fast. And just because somebody wants one thing one day doesn't mean that in a year they won't be kind of seduced to something else. And so, you know, everybody says right now, well, LeBron wants out. Well, we'll see where they are in a year. You know, what if Kyle Korver makes that shot? What if Durant turns an ankle? What if they win it next year? Then do we want out? Same thing with Paul George. If you're Boston, you have so many picks to offer. You could take Paul George and say, you know what? We're going to throw a season under his belt here, get him in our culture, get him with our group. This is going to be his first time, you know, in a while, maybe having a chance to go to the finals, and maybe in a year he will reconsider. And I think that's often a good bet in the NBA because what seems sure one day will not be sure the next day.
Kyle Lowry?
Kyle Lowry is – I didn't think I would get a Kyle Lowry question. He's one of those guys who's kind
of
got,
I mean, that came out of left field.
I'm
right
just
there,
curious
Dan,
about the – I was going to ask you the last two. Were the Blake Griffin and Chris Paul in L.A.? I'm just curious where you think these guys are going to go.
My gut would be the Chris stays, the Chris Paul stays, although, you know, and kind of plays for that maybe LeBron scenario down the road. And my gut, I suppose, might be that Blake would try something different. That team is currently constituted clearly – there's something missing. You know, and Boston's going to be just an active team for Griffin, for Gordon Hayward. The Heat is kind of a sneaky team. The guys, you know, Miami is still a huge draw, and it's a great organization, and you get Pat Riley in that room, and he's a hard guy to say no to. So I think they'll be an active team. You know, Kyle Lowry, Chicago's been out there. Philly was, but they're not anymore. It's a bad time to be a free agent point guard because what you see happen, you guys, is – there are so many great point guards, and they've been coming. Like, grassroots basketball has just been churning out point guards. The college game has been churning out point guards. And you get to a moment where there's kind of critical mass, where everybody's sort of set at point guard. We're not there yet, but, you know, you see what's going on with some of these teams, like Philly, like Milwaukee. They're having 6'11". They want 6'11 guys to hold the ball. You know, they want to have their – everybody wants their best guy to essentially play point guard, no matter position. So a guy like Lowry, the market may be a little more difficult because of A, all these good point guards already, and B, some teams not really even wanting a point guard, wanting this point forward to do everything. Giannis, Ben Simmons, those are kind of the names that come to mind.
And Hayward ends up in Boston. Is that the easiest dot
to
connect?
But look, you have more money. It's going to be hard to leave. The way the collective bargaining agreement is now, post-Durant and everything, it's going to be hard to leave these places because you're turning down more money, more security, you know, years. And going forward, those teams will be able to offer a deal a year in advance.
But in
if
fairness,
Oklahoma City had been able
we've,
to do that, they'd have kept Durant.
But in fairness, we've seen – I mean, Boogie did it. Durant did it. I mean, we've seen these guys saying, you know what? I want to go where I want to go, and I don't care about
Boogie
the extra
trade,
money.
But yeah.
Well, but you know what I mean. He was saying, I'm out of here. I'll go somewhere else. I'm not staying in Sacramento.
No, they will do it. But I do think Durant's a different – I mean, Sacramento is so – they're pretty bad. But, you know, Durant was a different situation because, again, the pressure to kind of – it depends on what your priority is. But for him, he wanted to have, you know, take no chances, kind of a guaranteed situation there. And, plus the way they play and all of those things. But his situation may be a little different than other guys. But, yeah, it comes down to, you know, how much do you really value, you know, that ring over everything? And if you do, then it looks like now you have to be 104. And that brings some of its own consternation. I mean, not everywhere will that model work either.
Yep. Hey, always good to catch up with you. Thanks for doing this. And if we find out info on your question, we'll tweet it your way.
Come on. Yeah.
I know. We whiffed.
We
didn't even take the bat off our shoulder. We whiffed.
Okay, Lee, I'm going to search.
Trust
I'm going to find
Bryce
information
Drew,
for
me,
you.
Bryce Drew is thinking about this guy morning, noon, and night. He's a five-star point guard.
You're right. You're right about that. Hey, thanks for doing this.
All right, see you guys. Take care.
Lee Jenkins, Sports Illustrated. He's fantastic. We'll take a quick break, come back with more. But first, Willie's going to tell you about his boats and his club.
I could do that.
You have boats?
As soon as I figured out what's going on with this point guard, I was still working on that
boats
behind the scenes.
You're at a club. So tell
boat
us
boat club
it.
And a point guard.
Now, we will have info for you on that here shortly. But anyway, let me tell you
we
the info.
We looked like we were facing Max Scherzer when he threw that at us.
We were frozen. We were frozen.
Okay, that's three strikes. You're out.
Oh, my. Not one of our greatest radio moments. Matt Scherzer does have a no-hitter through seven innings. We'll keep you updated on that one. Let me tell you about the Nashville Boat Club. NashvilleBoatClub.net is the place to go if you love being out on the water. I'm going to tell you, if you love being out on the water, you've probably thought about owning a boat. I'm going to tell you, look at this as an alternative because this is a better deal for you. That is what this business is based around, is don't buy a boat, join the club. That's the motto. You're going to pay less. It's going to be a better investment for you, and you get all the great benefits. Number one, no hassles of owning and operating a boat. Number two, you get access to a wide array of boats. They've got about 50 in the fleet, and they keep adding every year new boats, beautiful boats, pontoons, and on down the line. So if you want to take a big group out there one weekend, they've got boats that size. You want a smaller group, smaller boat, you got that as well. So if you love being out on the water, you need to call the Nashville Boat Club, 232-9100, and ask them about their membership program. They've got 11 years of business now. They've got three different lakes that you can have access to, and, of course, this great fleet of boats that I've been talking about. 232-9100, or go online at NashvilleBoatClub.net and take a virtual tour, schedule an actual tour to go out and meet these people. They are great. They'll take care of you, and you will have all kinds of fun and memories that you create on the water with your friends and family. Don't buy a boat. Join the club. It's the Nashville Boat Club.